Well, let me tell you, next week we're going to be kicking off a new series as we start the new year. I am so excited. God has given me the direction for where we're headed. And next week we'll be talking about a series, starting a new series called Stay Planted. Last year, well, this year, we started a series called Breaking New Ground. And I believe the theme for this next year that God has given me is the word Stay Planted. He's given me several messages to go along with this theme. And we're going to be talking. It's going to be very, very powerful. As God speaks to your life and my life, and it's going to be really good. So next week, don't miss next week as we come back in and start to kick off that new series for the new year on staying planted. Well, today I want to talk to you about the thought of don't look back. Don't look back. Everybody say, don't look back. Turn your neighbor and say, don't look back. I love that the Bible is full of controversy. I believe that the Bible, can you imagine if the Bible had edited out all the mistakes people had made, all the drama? It would be hardly anything left. If all we had was the good things that some of our heroes did of the faith, there'd be hardly anything left in the Bible. But I love the fact that the Bible shows the good and the bad. It shows the great things, the things that look good, also some of the things that aren't so pretty. I mean, if we only knew about David's heroics and we didn't know about his failures, we would see such an unbalanced side of him. If we didn't only see Moses' heroics and not his failures, we couldn't relate. But you and I, we can relate to failures. We can relate to drama. We can relate to conflict and things in our life. And so the Bible is very clear that conflict, drama, mistakes happen in people's lives. But yet if we'll give our lives totally over to Jesus, that he'll take the things that are bad and he'll turn them around for good in our life. He still uses broken people. He still uses people who have blown it. And so I love this about Scripture. And we've got to realize today we're called to go forward. How many know I don't trip over the things in my past? I'm looking back. I'm not going to trip over the things behind me. I'm going to trip over the things that are ahead of me. So I've got to be looking forward, refocusing on where God has taken me. We don't run forward looking backwards, do we? I mean, when we play basketball, I teach my daughter who's playing basketball right now, I was like, you got to see the floor, honey. You can only go forward by looking up. Don't dribble with your head down up the court like this. No, we dribble looking up the court at all times. We're always looking to advance. And you'll never see the person coming open if you're not looking up. You got to look up. You got to see what's ahead of you. And you can never look up. You can never look forward when you're constantly looking behind. Just not going to happen. But too many of us live our life looking in the rearview mirror of life, looking at the things where we've been, the mistakes we made, or the things that have happened in our past, and we allow those things to trip us up. We allow those things to keep us from going to the place that God is calling us to go forward. So in 2013, many of you, as you raised your hands a while ago, that God has done many things in your life in 2013. He's set you free. He's broken some chains in your life. He's changed some things in your life. He's changed your environment. He's changed your outlook. He's changed your health. He's changed your attitude. He's changed your future, your relationships, your addictions. He's changed many things in your life. And so the message to you today as we leave 2013 and head forward into 2014 is don't look back. Don't look back. So say it to your neighbor, say, don't look back. Come on, say it to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor, say, don't look back. There's only trouble when you look back. I'm going to be talking today about the story of Abraham and Lot. And it's an interesting story we see here. And let's go ahead and we'll pick it up in verse 26 of chapter 19. We'll pick it up here, actually verse 24 through 26. What we see here is Abraham's been called by God to leave. He said, hey, man, I got this place I'm going to give you. I got this new blessing I'm going to give you and your family, so pack your bags up and leave. Abraham's like, where are we going? God's like, don't worry about it. Just pack your bags up and leave and trust me. And as he leaves, he takes Lot with him, his nephew. And later on, we see where Lot is living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is like, I'm going to tear this town up. This town is so bad, I'm going to destroy it. Let's pick it up here in verse 24. Then the Lord rained down fire, burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them. along with the other cities and villages of the plain, wiping out all the people and every bit of the vegetation. But Lot's wife looked back. Everybody say, look back. This is the mistake. She looked back as she was falling behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. The danger is in looking back and not looking forward ahead. So here we go. God's calling Abraham. This time his name is Abram. He said, hey, I want you to go forward. Get your family. Pack your bags up. Let's go. And Abraham's like, where are we going? And God's like, I'll tell you, but just pack your bags up and just follow me. Let me make a statement to you today. I want you to know that God never talks details with us. God never talks details with us until we take the first step of obedience. Let me say again. God never talks details with us until we take the first step in obedience. That many times and most of the time in our life, that God will just ask you to take a step out in faith and without showing us the full picture. And why is that? Because if we knew the full picture, number one, anybody could do it, right? I mean, anybody, if you know the reward that's waiting for you at the end of the journey, you're like, yeah, let's go there. It doesn't take faith to do that. It doesn't take faith to walk into something that's better for your life. It doesn't take faith to walk in a new blessing. But it takes faith to take a step out when you don't know where you're going. It takes a step of faith to step out and say, all right, God, you're leading me. I don't know what's on this journey. Also, if you knew the journey that maybe you're going to go ahead, maybe some difficult times before you get to the promised land that God has for you, that you may chicken out. So God never discussed details with us. He gives us little pieces, little visions, and oftentimes asks us to step out in faith before he reveals the whole picture to us. He's testing us. Are we going to trust him? He's testing us. Will we be obedient to what he's asking us to do? So Abraham, which is Abram at the time, says, Abram, get your family. Let's go. His family's like, Dad, where are we going? Dad's like, I don't know. Can you imagine? They're traveling. And like, Dad, are we there yet? I don't know. We're not there yet. Listen to me. This is why it's important. When you travel with people, that you travel, when you're going ahead in life, that you travel with people who don't ask too many questions. I'm going to be honest. When you want to do something for God and you want to go to a new place in God and God's calling you to do something, you got to travel with people who just don't ask too many questions. Because how many know that everybody else wants to know how you're going to do it? Or where are you going? I'm not really 100% sure. How are you going to get there? I don't know. How are you going to be supported? I don't know. Where's the money going to come from? I don't know. Who's going to help you? I don't know. What's it going to look like when you get done? I don't know. I can tell you one of the reasons why we had success early on here at Destiny Church is that even though we only started with seven families, those seven families were not question people. They were like, let's do it. I'm like, God's called us to step out. We're going to start a church at the Holiday Inn. We're going to go. They didn't come and say, well, who's going to pay for it? They didn't ask you that question. They didn't come and say, well, how am I going to be here? When are we going to get our own building? We're just gonna, no, it's just like, all right. God says, go. Let's go, Pastor Gene. We believe. We believe you heard from God, and we believe that God's leading you, so let's just go for it. And that's important. If I had a bunch of people around me that was like, so when are you going to get your own building? When are you going to get this? When are you going to get that? You know, it would have been so taxing, so worrying. But instead, I had people behind me, shoving me, and saying, let's go. Let's go. Yeah, this is cool. God's taking us. What's going to happen next week? I don't know. We'd show up every week, and the room would be different. We'd have this room one week and this room the next week. We'd have a big room one week. Next time we show up, oh, yeah, by the way, we sold your room. You only got a small room this week. Oh, the kids' classroom, you're not in this classroom. Now they're going to take them to a hotel room. We're like, oh, God, help us. How am I ever going to build a church this way? No consistency. But, you know, we had great people. And the people who came in that first year, they were so supportive. You can go somewhere with people like that. You can build a church with people like that. But, listen, let me just tell you this right now. As soon as you decide to step out and do anything for God, people are going to start asking questions. Well, how are you going to do it? What's going to happen? How are you going to make that happen? So it's important that you take people on your journey with you who can be yes people, who can say, you know what? I'm not sure exactly how it's going to happen, but we're willing to step out in faith with you. It's important that we have those people on our journey as we take the next step. So Lot's nephew is traveling with him. Abraham takes his nephew Lot with him. And Lot was blessed because Abraham was blessed. This is pretty cool. You know, God never called Lot to be blessed. God never said, hey, Lot, get your wife. Let's go. Let's get out of your family. No, he calls Abraham, and Abraham brings on Lot with him. Which, let me tell you this. It's important that who you're connected to is very important. Who you're connected to is very important in your life. You want to be blessed, you hook up with somebody who God's blessing. And say, man, I want to follow that person. I can tell you very on early in my life, one of the reasons why I've had success in my life and change is because I learned to connect with people who God was blessing. I was like, I want to be mentored by them. They're a better father than I am. They're a better Christian than I am. They're a better person. They're serving God. They're doing this. They're a better pastor than me. And I would hook up with them, and I would say, I want to be mentored by you. And even if they said no, I'd still follow them around anyway. I hung out with them, and I watched them, and I connected myself to them because I seen God's favor on their life, and I wanted to be around those people because I knew if God's going to bless them, I want to get some of that blessing. It's the truth. And so in your life, if you want to, listen, in 2014, some of you, the reason why you're not going anywhere is because you're still hanging around the same people who's been dragging you down for years. I know I'm preaching. Thank you very much right there. You ain't heard nothing yet. Let's get ready. All right. So if we're going to go somewhere new, we got to say, God, connect me to people who are growing. Connect me to people who are maturing that I can learn from. Get connected with. So Lot and Abraham are out. They're traveling. And these guys are blood. So even though there's some conflict there, it's okay between them because it's his nephew. It's his uncle. So they're tight, but the servants, on the other hand, they wouldn't get along, okay? The in-laws, you know what I'm talking about? Some of you just experienced it. This is Christmas, that's holidays. You have to spend a couple of days and several people coming in under one roof. And you're like, Mom and Daddy, we still get along. I mean, brother and sister get along. But some of the wives and some of the in-laws wasn't always the greatest. Don't look at me like I'm the only one's ever had that problem before. I've never had that problem. Just for the record, for those who are listening online, so. My family. So, in-laws don't always get along. This is kind of what's happening here. The servants aren't getting along. So finally, Abraham's like, all right, listen, Lot. This is kind of a struggle. The ladies aren't really getting along. The camp's getting too small. The stress of traveling. The servants are arguing. So I'll tell you what, Lot, it's probably best we split up. So Abraham does something really great here. He says, Lot, I'm going to give you first choice. You pick the area that God's given us all this land. You pick what you want, and I'll just go in the opposite direction. And we'll spread apart and put some distance between us. That way people have a chance to cool down and, you know, the relationships of men the way they should. And so Lot looks out and says, all right, that looks like the best place to my eyes. That's the best city. I'll take Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, there's nothing wrong there. I'll go there. And so Lot takes his eyes and says, I want that, and goes after it. But what's the mistake? The mistake was this, is that Lot never stops and asks God, God, where do you want me to go? Lot never stops and says, God, where are you leading me? God, where would you like for me to relocate my family? God, where would you like for me to go next? We don't see this happening. And so he enters a big problem because he is led by his eyes and not with his ears. Because Romans 10:7 says it like this. Faith comes by what? Hearing. It says again, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith is built up when we hear the voice of the Lord and we learn to obey. And we learn to discern the voice of the Lord that's speaking to us. That's where our faith is built up. That's where God matures us. He doesn't want us to be people who are driven just by what we see. So faith comes by hearing. So listen, we should be led by what we hear. We should be led by what we hear and not by what we see. Let me say it again. Write this down. We should be led by what we hear and not by what we see. This is such an important principle for every Christian to learn, that God's wanting us to follow his voice that is speaking to us and not make decisions based on what we just see, but learn to discern what God is saying. So Lot sees Sodom and Gomorrah and makes a decision, I'm going to move my family here based on just what he saw, just what he's seen. The problem is this, Sodom and Gomorrah has to be the most wicked place of all time. Sodom and Gomorrah are so sexually perverse that God says, I'm going to destroy this place. We're not talking about a few perverts here. We're talking about everybody. The whole town is so sexually perverse. Everything you can think of that would be wicked and evil is happening here sexually. And that the whole town, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter man with men, women with women. It doesn't make a difference who it is. Children, it's all happening here. Everything that God says this to be disobedient in his word is happening here. So God's very angry at this time. He's going to bring judgment at this time. But does Lot hear this? No. Lot says, it looks good. I think I'll go there. And he gets there and he's like, oh, maybe I came to the wrong place. And so this is a story. Pick up a story here where Abraham begins to talk to God. And God's like, all right, listen, Abraham, I know you brought your nephew Lot. And first of all, I love this story because we see where Abraham has this conversation with God. And if you don't think God doesn't want a dialogue with you, you're missing it. You're missing it. Because Abraham begins to have this dialogue with God as they call him friend. You know, God wants to be more than just your savior. He wants to be a friend that sticks us closer than any brother that you can talk to. And he will talk back to you as well. His spirit will speak and lead you. And so Abraham begins to have this conversation with God. He's like, hey, God's like, listen, Sodom and Gomorrah are there. I know Lot's there, but I'm going to destroy it. It's pure evil. I'm going to bring down fire from heaven. I'm going to make it rain fire. And that whole town's getting ready to be done with. I'm wiping it off the map. And Abraham's like, all right, God, you're cool. God, you are the man. God, you are the God. God, you're it. God, there's nobody better than you. There's nobody stronger than you. He starts off complimenting. I mean, come on. Now, I think God doesn't see through this, but, you know, we do the same thing with our parents. How many kids? Hey, Dad, I love you. Dad, you're the greatest dad in the world. Can I have $20? Especially when you're at like Target or somewhere and they're like, oh, Dad, I love you. Can I get this game? You know, we do the same thing. So this is what Abraham does. He's like complimenting God about how great he is. And he's like, hey, God, by the way, I know you're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but since how you're a gracious God as well, would you not save it if you could find 50 people who are righteous in that town? And God's like, okay, Abraham, yeah, you find 50 people who are righteous, I'll save the town. Oh, God, you're so awesome. I knew you'd do it for 50 people. But you're so awesome. Would you do it for 45 people? And God's like, yeah, I'll do it for 45. And he's like, oh, God, you're awesome. How about 40? And all of a sudden, we see this auctioneering thing going on here. This bidding process. Oh, sold right here. You go from 50 to 45 to 40 to 35 to 30. It gets all the way down to 10 people. You just don't buy a car in the middle of church right here. I know it's coming right now. But all of a sudden, he's down to 10 people. He's like, God, would you save it for 10 people? God's like, yes, you find 10 people that are righteous, I won't destroy the town. And so Abraham goes back. He starts doing the math. All right, he got Lot, his wife. He's got two daughters. They're engaged with two guys. That's six. Oh, God, that's going to be four more people in that town. What am I going to do? And he starts interceding for Lot because he knows there's only six there. And God said save for 10, but not six. And so Abraham's interceding for his nephew. And so God says, hey, you better warn the guy. You better warn him. But Abraham, of course, I mean, Lot doesn't take any warning. So God sends an angel to warn Lot and to pull him and his family out. Like, listen, hey, it's coming. This town's going to be destroyed. Now, you listen, you know you are hard of hearing when it comes to God's voice, that God's got to send an angel to talk to you face to face. Ask Paul the same question. He can tell you. He can relate to this. I mean, God doesn't want to do that all the time. He'd rather you learn to listen and speak to you. But sometimes God's got to intervene that he had to send. You know, it's big time. Lot, you're not going to hear this. Remember Paul couldn't get direction. He thought he was here, and finally God's like, just go to sleep. I'll send an angel to talk to you. And so he goes and talks to him in his sleep. The same thing happens here. God sends an angel to speak to Lot. It's like, listen, dude, you better get out. You better get out. God's going to bring judgment upon this land because it's perverse, and I'm going to wipe it off. And he goes, God's giving you a warning. Get out. And he's like, well, are you really sure? And he starts telling his future son-in-laws, hey, you guys, we better pack up, ready to go. And they said, He looked at him and said, oh, you're joking, man. You're joking. God isn't going to do that. And they didn't believe him. But he told his daughters, you better not listen to them. Trust your dad. You better go with me. And so he gets his family, and the angel of the Lord's like, you better go now. Time's running out. You need to leave now. You need to leave now. And what happens? Of course, we see where Lot goes, well, I don't know. I don't know. Come here, Joe. So we see Lot up here. Joking me, Lot here today. The angel of the Lord's like, come on, Joe, get your family and go. And Lot just stays behind. He's like, come on, let's go. Let's go. God's bringing judgment. Get out of here. Come on, let's go. And Lot's like, well, God, just a minute, just a minute. Did we have everything we need? Did we get everything? We sure got everything. Finally, it says the angel of the Lord grabs Lot by the arm and says, let's go. Let's get out of here. And Lot grabs his family and they leave. And the angel of the Lord's dragging him out of the city. It's like, come on. And Lot's like, well, are you sure? Are you sure? And the angel's like, God, you humans are so crazy, man. Listen to the voice of God. Come on. Learn to follow. God sent me down here. You think he was wasting my time to come down here with all you heathens? If it wasn't important, you need to follow God's voice. I can't believe I had to come down here. You need to learn to obey God's voice. And get up here. And that's what's happening, you know. Of course, he's pulling him out. He says, don't look back. Let's go forward. Some of you here today, did Lot get pulled out because he was so obedient to God? No. He was living in the most perverse land there was. He was ready to give up his daughters in a heartbeat. I mean, this wasn't a righteous man. But Abraham had interceded for him. Some of you here, you're here in 2013 not because of anything good you've done, because somebody interceded for you. Somebody prayed for you. You had a mama who was praying for you. You had a dad who was praying for you. You had a friend. You had a wife. You had a husband. Somebody was praying for you. You had a friend who had a burden. They prayed for you. And God has spared you and has sent someone to pull you out. And you wouldn't be here unless God, someone had interceded for you. And let me say this, in 2013, some of you are in a mess and God's going to send somebody to help pull you out. And when they do, you run. Don't fight it. Go. When God sends someone to pull you out, go. Thank you, Joe. And listen to me to this. We know that the Bible is a, what? Collection of stories that point to the main story. Remember us talking about that a few weeks ago. The Bible is a collection of stories that all point to the main story. It's our relationship with the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. And so what's happening here is we're seeing this, that God sent an angel down to the heathen to pull him out even when he didn't deserve it because he loved. God sent his Son to you and I that while we were yet sinners, even though you and I were stuck in our sin, we were stuck in our pride, he sent his Son Jesus to come to rescue you and I from the judgment that's coming to this world. Do we see this? God is pulling us out that we can escape judgment, and he sent his Son to pull us out. Thank you. You're going to get saved yet, Pastor Joe. He got saved twice in the first service already. It's been pretty cool. We love what God's doing here, and I see in our life that God is trying to pull us out. How many of us have made decisions based on what we see instead of what we hear? How many of us make decisions based on what we see instead of what we hear? God never told you to sign on the dotted line for that. Did you pray about that? God, I'm in so much debt. I wonder if it was this time to ask God, is this the right timing for me? How many of you bought something only for a few months later sort of like, I could have got that for half price if I had just waited? Wow. If I had known my job was going to change, I would have made some better decisions. Well, if we would have learned to listen to God before we make some major decisions in our life. God never told you to go out with that person. But yet we find ourselves in a bad relationship. And we're like, wow, why did I go through that mess? Well, if you'd asked God ahead of time, he could have saved you some trouble. Do you still love me? Someone say, Pastor Jing, just tell us like it is. Bring it. Okay, thank you for permission. Not that I needed it, but anyway, you know. I'm just going to be real with you today. We got way too many single parents, both male and female both, who are bringing people in and out of their lives to their children who have no business being there, all because we're going off what we see versus what we're hearing. And I say that in love because I love your kids. I love them, every one of them that come. I pray for them and I pray over them. We got too many people who are bringing people in and out of their lives to their children because they're going off what they see versus are saying, God, is this the right person for me to bring in their life? Come on, we're making decisions in our lives that have consequences if we'll just stop and listen. God, what are we doing? So Abraham begins to reason with God. God has to send the angel to bring him out. He leads him out and tells him, don't look back. Don't look back. And he says, don't look back. If you look back, why is it important we don't look back? Because when you look back, you remember how to return. When you look back, you remember how to return. That's why we don't look back. That's why we destroy the rearview mirror. That's why we need to take that rearview mirror down and go forward and say, I'm not going back. Because when I look back, I see the path of returning to the place that God took me out of. God says, don't look back because I'm going to destroy that part of your past. God says, don't look back because I'm going to destroy that part of your past. God didn't want them to look back because he was going to destroy that city. Lot's wife looks back and she turns to a pillar of salt. And listen, I don't believe today that she just happened to glance back and like God's like, oh, you look back. I don't believe, you know, think about it. They're running for their lives. The angel is pulling them out and then fire from heaven starts coming down out of the sky. Would you look back? Yeah, they're like, look at that. Whoa. If I'd been alive, I'd been like, I told you. Even though he was not the one to want to leave, but you know. It's like, you better listen. I mean, you can't have, your natural instinct would be to look back if fire's falling from the sky. I don't believe she was just running and happened to glance back, looking at the fire, and God's like, oh, you're a pillar of salt because you disobeyed. No, I believe this. I believe it says that she was following him, Lot, and Lot was up ahead. And she turned back. I believe she didn't turn back with her eyes. I believe she turned back with her heart. I believe in her heart, she turned back and is like, I don't want to leave that place. Even though it's wicked, that was home. And I don't want to leave that place. And her heart began to harden to where God was taking her, and she wanted to go back to the place that was very wicked in God's sight. She turned her heart back. I believe that's when God said, no, not going to have it. How many of us that God wants to destroy the places in our past? Listen, stop trying. Listen to me. Stop trying. Look at this. Stop trying to go back to a place that God loved you enough to pull you out of. Let me say again, stop trying to go back to a place that God loved you enough to pull you out of. Why would you ever want to go back to a relationship that God spared you of? God pulled you out of that relationship and you want to go back to that abusive relationship. That makes no sense. Why would you ever want to go back to that relationship? God spared you, pulled you out of that abusive relationship, and now you want to go back to that? No, you keep running ahead and don't look back. Well, I might love him. Get over it. Go forward. God's pulled you out. Don't look back. Why would you ever want to go back to an addiction that God pulled you out of? Addiction that could have cost you your life and God pulled you out of that addiction. Yeah, I got to have it to survive. No, don't go back. Go forward. Why would you ever want to go to a place where you have no peace in your life, you're lonely, depressed. God pulled you out of it. Leave. Go forward. Don't go back. Pastor, I know this. God pulled me out of this relationship. The last person I was with, I met them down at the club. And God changed my life. I can tell you this right now. When I go back to the club this time, God's going to bring me a Christian man right there. He's going to bring me a woman with all the right moves this time. I just tell you right now. Why would I go back if God's pulled me out. No, I got to change where I'm shopping for the groceries if I want a different outcome. Don't go back, go forward. Why are we so addicted to places that we don't thrive in? We don't grow. It tears our life apart, and we can never seem to break loose. And as soon as something pulls us out, we end up going back to it. Why? Because it's just what I know. No, God's pulling you out, and He doesn't want you to look back. He wants you to go forward. He loves you enough to pull you out. Why would you ever want to go back? Go forward in Him. Say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to go forward. I don't want to look back. I wish I was still in 2005. Before the market crashed, I had a lot more money than I do now. My 401k was a lot bigger than it is now. We could only go back to 2005. Really? Do you remember the heathen you was in 2005? So full of pride, and you thought you could make it no matter what? You thought you had enough financial gain, and you were so full of yourself. Now God's got you in a place where you're totally dependent on Him. You've never been closer to God. Your relationships have never been better. Why would you ever want to go back to a place there? Doesn't mean God doesn't ever want to bless you again, but what I'm saying is, why would I ever want to look back and say, I want that? No, God, thank you that through my struggle, you pulled me forward and has changed the man I am today. Thank you, God, has changed me to the woman I am today. Even though it was tough, even though it hurt, you pulled me out of that mess and I'm not going back. I'm not going to go hang out in that place any longer. Why would I go hang out with those friends when every time I'm around, I end up doing the things I shouldn't do? Go forward. When God pulls you out, go forward. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time. It's time to go forward. Don't go back. Listen, God is trying to lead you to a place. I'm going to close you with this statement. God is trying to lead you to a place where you will never find your past again. God is trying to lead you to a place where you'll never find your past again. Does that mean that you'll never remember it? No, you'll always have memories of your past. But God's trying to erase that place so that you don't go back to it again. I remember where God brought me from, and I'm never going back to that place again. That place does not exist in my life. I am not that person anymore. I'm not that addict anymore. I'm not that person who's abused anymore. I'm not that person who's a cheat anymore. I'm not that person who's an adulteress anymore. I'm not that person who's a liar anymore. I'm not that person who's an abuser anymore. No, I'm going forward. And I'm not going back. God, I thank you that you called me out. God, I thank you that you're changing my life. God doesn't just want to pull you out, but He wants to make sure there's no way back in your life. God doesn't want to just pull you out. He wants to make sure there's no way back. He burned up Sodom and Gomorrah. He was saying there's no return. That's why you got to leave. That's why I'm pulling you out, because there's going to be no return to this place any longer. Today, I'm not even going to ask you this question. First of all, I'm going to ask you this question. I want you to bow your heads. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, first of all, before I go any further in this message, I want to ask, maybe somebody's here today and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're saying, Pastor, today I want to accept Jesus' love, forgiveness. I want to ask Him to be Lord of my life. I've never prayed that prayer. And today I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way at all, but I want to give you a chance to respond to maybe what the Holy Spirit is speaking to your life. If today's your day and you want to accept Jesus, can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, it's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you. Anybody else today, you want to join us? If you haven't raised yet, raise it right now. Say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. We're going to say this prayer together. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you, and especially those who raised your hands. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life, all of my hurt, all of my sin, all of my dreams. I give everything to you today. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. you prayed that prayer and you meant it for the first time, say welcome to the family, God. Give him a hand, yeah. Today, if you prayed that prayer, before you leave, I want you to stop by the back of our Welcome Center. We got a free Bible for you. Inside there, we got some other information we want to give you. How many today say, Pastor, I am not going back. I am not going back. I am not going back. I'm determined. As 2013, I head in 2014. I am not going back. I'm not going to be the person I was. But I'm going to take the pressure and what God's pulling me out of, and I'm going to step into a new destiny. I'm going to keep going forward. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse to go back to that place I was at. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. I'm going to invite you to join me around the front. So we close with a song today that simply says, God, you came to my rescue. As you come around the front today, I want you to know God's calling you forward. He doesn't want you to go back, but he's calling us forward. On this last Sunday of 2013, I want you to declare in your heart, say, man, I'm not going back. No, Pastor, no matter how tough it is, no matter how much I got to claw and fight my way forward, I refuse to go back. I am going forward. I am ready to go forward. I am ready to press onward to the high calling in Jesus Christ. He says, I don't look back. I don't obtain the things that are behind me, but I look forward. I press forward to the high calling in Jesus Christ. So press in, guys, to the front. Make any room for those coming in the back. Say, man, God's calling me forward. So look out across this congregation right now. I see people that God has moved forward this year. You come a long ways. You're not going back. I tell you right now, God is not going to allow you to go back. I'm speaking over you right now prophetically that God is calling you forward. You're not going to be a victim to your past, but God's going to allow you to be set free. He's going to burn those places in your past, and you're going to move forward. A new creation. All things made new. Come on, let's declare it to him this morning.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your faith. Lord, all I am is sure. Rescue, and I wanna be where you are.
Do you agree with that word spoken over your life today? Put your hands together. Come into agreement. God, I believe that today over my life. God, I accept that over my life today. Amen. What a great way to end a Sunday in 2013. Listen, next week, man, we're going to have a good time. We're going to bring it next week as God shares a powerful word with us. Well, stay planted for 2014. Have a great New Year's. I'll see you next year, right? All right. God bless you.